Welcome everybody to iloverealestate.tv. Dibner here, of course. What I want to talk about today is a lot of people find themselves in circumstances where they're not in an ideal situation. A lot of people have listened to other people who've been sold properties by marketeers that have got more of a vested interest in selling them a property and making a $40,000 to $80,000 commission from them than it is to actually what they need to be buying. You know, some of them have gone on and bought a number of those kind of properties. Some of them have even borrowed against them because the market's moved with them and taken that money and bought another one and bought another one. And you know, I've seen a lot of people over the years that have done exactly that. I mean, there's one group out there that just sells bulk negatively geared investment properties and advises you to gear them up and go and buy another one, go and buy another one. I saw a lady recently who had, at one stage, she had 18 of this style of property. Now, just think about that. She'd bought them all through this one group. They're typically making, as I say, somewhere around 40 grand per sale to her for selling her these properties. And they're all the, you know, four bedroom, two bathroom, double lockup garage, the normal stuff. And of course, they're all supposedly in growth areas. And look, some of them are. Some of them aren't, I might add. Some of them are made up growth areas because of the marketeer's marketing money that they throw at it. And, you know, they get to a stage where, you know, you just get another one. It only takes one little twitch in the market. It only takes, you know, a downturn in the market or even just a leveling of the market. It only takes a change in a banking policy like we had recently with the APRA changes that came out on the banks. And suddenly the finance freezes up. And you know, you can be situated in where they go in and they have to refinance, the values have gone down, they call in the loans. She went bankrupt. And she went bankrupt because that she'd followed that strategy and got herself into all sorts of trouble. And unfortunately, I mean, she's an extreme case, but unfortunately, it's a story I see over and over again. And it's a very sad story because, you know, they're real people's lives with real people's futures that are ruined by not having the proper education and focusing on the right type of properties. Now, everybody knows I do not sell properties. I'll teach you what to buy and how to do the analysis and due diligence and all those sorts of things and what to look out for, but I will not sell your property. I think it's fundamentally wrong for those people to do that and teach you how to do things and say, oh, and I just happen to have one of those. So I want to talk about that process, but I also want to talk about what if you're in that. Okay, you know, you get the fact that no, you're not supposed to do that anymore, and you know, you've listened to me enough to know that that's not the strategy to live by. But what if you have in the past? That's what I want to focus on today. How do you get yourself out of those circumstances? So what I've decided to do is I've got one of my head coaches here. His name's Brad. Hello, Brad. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Very good, Brad. Great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Now, the reason I've asked you to come along and talk about this particular topic, because that was you.
Yes.
Not the 18 property person.
No, not the 18. However, it doesn't take 18 to even feel the pain. I felt the pain on my first one. So, look, I went through a similar thing. I ended up getting 9 properties. I followed the herd, the wrong advice. I had no idea at the time.
You actually got that advice from your accountant, didn't you?
I did, yeah. My accountant at the time, who was telling me that this is the way to go. This is the way to build wealth. So, you know, I was only very young, had no idea. And I was
earning good income.
Earning good income. And I went down that track. It was very dangerous, very, very dangerous. And unknowingly was building a disastrous ticking time bomb. Because like what Dibner just said before, was that, you know, it doesn't even need to take a downturn in the market, just a leveling out, because if you are so highly leveraged and negative with that amount of properties, like I had 9, it totally, everything just exploded because of the way that the market didn't even, it just leveled out. So I felt that pain and I had to move quickly because it was not a good situation.
So let's throw some numbers at that. You had 9 properties. And they were all negatively geared investment properties, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
So you'd bought the typical stuff that the marketeers sell.
Yeah. I did, yeah. Yep, that's pretty much what I did.
And let's just apply a little bit more pressure here. You bought them all in your own names, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yep.
And they're probably all cross-securitized.
Yes, they were.
Are you feeling the pain now?
I am. Well, yeah, definitely was. definitely, you're reminding me of it, which is...
no, I don't want to revert you to tears.
No, but yeah, it's... But the great thing about it is that it's reversible.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And you can turn things around with the right strategy and the right knowledge and education and also with also the right mindset too, because, you know, when you're in that... Well, if you are in that situation, the situation that I was in, it's hard to... You know, you're feeling like you've been lied to, you know, if that's, you know, if you've followed someone else's opinion or advice or a marketer's or these mass marketers that sell negatively geared properties to say that this is the way to go, and then all of a sudden it doesn't turn out for you, then, you know, it's something that you really need to actually have that belief inside you that, well, yes, it is possible. I know, I've heard of people doing it. I see people successful in property, but how? Like, there's got to be a different way, and that's what led me to this community.
Let's stay on that for a little bit there, because you talk about how you feel when you're in that circumstance. You know, a lot of people that I see, they can get stuck in that feeling and the overwhelming and, you know, I've been lied to, poor me, woe is me, and take the blame and the victim and whatever. And that's a very dangerous place too.
Most definitely. And I always remember the first time I ever saw you speak at a one-day event. I was sitting in the chair and you said, and it was really, it hit me really hard, but it was one of the best things. It was one of the most painful things I heard you say, but it was also one of the most empowering things, because you said, whether you like it or not, the financial position and situation that you're in right now is exactly where you need to be. It's exactly where you should be, because it's you, and whether or not you listen to your accountant or not, but it was you that listened to that accountant, or it's you that was, you know, went on that path. And then you said straight after that, you said, but the best thing about that is that that's you that can turn it around. And you, if you take this on board and take that responsibility of, well, I can turn this around. If it's me that's got me here, then it's me that can get me out. And that's what I took on board. I'm like, well, you know, I've got to accept responsibility. Instead of playing the victim and blaming, I'm not taking the learnings and I'm not being able to turn it around. And I had to actually take full responsibility and say, you know what, it was my fault that I didn't test the strategy, or even ask or find out if this was the right way to go, or even ask if that accountant had even bought a property. So this is why I learned a lot about why it's important to take responsibility and having that empowerment, so you can actually move forward with a better plan and a better progress and better results.
And I actually think that's you know, what you said there is perfect, because the first step to recovery is accepting responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And
drawing a line in the sand and saying, this is my starting position. Forget what I was before. Forget what I did have. Forget what, you know, happened in the past. Your future is totally under your control. So we've got a line in the sand. You had 9 properties. How much negative cash flow were you?
In total, all up at that point was just over $50,000
negative. $50,000 negative, yeah. Cash flow.
And that was a time...
That must hurt. That's a lot of money. That's a grand a week that you have to earn before you can eat.
Yes, and even that definitely was, you know, but at the same time, I had this belief at the time that that was going to lead me to the road of riches and the wealth and all this. This is the way to do it, because I was told to do it that way. And some of you who are listening probably may be thinking, well, how was I even able to afford that? And just to give you a bit of context, this was before the GFC. So this was back when there were facilities around called the no doc and low doc facilities. And at the time, like on paper, there was no way I'll be able to buy another property. But that was where the low doc and no doc loans came in at the time, because I said, oh, well, it's okay if you can't, declare the income. You just need a letter from an accountant to help you get the loan. So, you know, even though it was such a negative cash flow, I was still able to build because of those facilities, which is even more dangerous.
So you had 50 grand negative cash flow. I mean, you know, you were earning good money, but it's not that much, you know, to afford 50 grand negative.
Yeah.
You must have been borrowing against those properties even to pay your interest bill.
That's correct. That's exactly what I was doing. So, and that's exactly what I was encouraged to do at the time, was all you got to do is borrow, and then you use that money that you borrow to repay or keep pay your interest costs, and then it just keeps cascading, and it keeps like a snowball effect. But
snowball, a snowball effect down the hill. That's an avalanche, that's called.
An avalanche of debt, really. Which is exactly what happened. It was an avalanche of debt. And that's why, you know, earlier when Dibner was saying it doesn't take much for something to change, for that to become all undone, because you're relying on something you can't control.
Yeah, growth.
Which is a natural growth. And when you're relying on that and something changes, boy, you're not in control, then this is what can happen, and that's what happened to me.
It's probably very fortunate that you sat in my audience that day.
Very fortunate, because again, like I said, it actually enabled me to step up and take responsibility first and foremost that, hey, stop blaming the accountant, stop blaming everything else, because I'm not getting any further forward by doing that. And whatever happened in the past has happened. What I can do is I can change the future. I can get in back in control. I can learn, and I can implement and learn ways to help me get back in control and help me undo mistakes or understand what I could do with what I had. And that's why, you know, when I first came in, I learned about what you do and the whole community, what it's about. It totally attracted and resonated with me, and why I became a member straight away.
Okay, so your negative cash flow, 50 grand. If you added up all the value of your houses and all the value of your properties, how did that work out?
Well, that was what happened was at the time I had to force sell down properties. So,
but what was the difference between the value of your loans and the value of the houses?
The value of my loans and the value of my houses was, at the time, I was around probably just almost $180,000 difference.
So that's negative difference. So your loans were higher than the value of your properties because the market had shifted by $180,000. So you owed more than you had in properties, and you were 50 grand negative cash flow.
Exactly.
Now, a lot of you listening to this will go, holy dooly, you know, I'm not in that bad a position. and you know, and we'll tell a success story shortly of how you turned that around and stuff. But just understand that with the right people around you, with the right education behind you, and taking action, you can fix this stuff. You can turn it around. You can put yourself back in even a neutral position or a stronger position, which is obviously what we're after. So you started to analyze what properties you had individually, which is one thing I teach. We do a thing called opportunity cost analysis, which is a process that analyzes your existing properties, and it will tell you categorically whether you need to sell or keep a negatively geared investment property. I mean, it takes all the emotion out of it about whether the kitchen's pretty or anything else. It just comes down to numbers, and numbers don't lie. So that was your first movement after taking responsibility is, okay, well, we've got to do this. So you did opportunity cost analysis on your properties.
Yeah, definitely. First step one is having a look at what you currently got and what's possible with what you have. So, you know, there's a lot of different strategies that you can potentially implement on properties that, you know, if it is a negative cash flow property, if there's something that you can do to it to add value, then that could be something that you can focus on. But if it's not, well, then you got to look at, well, does it fit my strategy moving forward, and is it holding me back from moving forward any further? So that was that whole process in itself, and analysing my portfolio, like what Dibner just said, it actually told me without any emotion, basically what I needed to do to start again and to get back on track and to move forward, which, you know, after a process of having to, you know, go through and sell down six properties because of the situation, I was so, you know, the banks...
And the type of property you bought.
And the type of property I bought. I was left with three properties just so I was not, you know, getting dragged through and getting all my loans called in. So I was definitely in a situation which wasn't good. But after going through this process and learning and then doing the opportunity cost analysis and seeing what I could do, there was one of those properties that I had left of three that I could turn around and add value. And with the strategies that we teach here and stack all these strategies to increase the profits on, which ended up to be quite a successful property. So that's why it's important to understand what's available, what strategies are available, because there could be something in your portfolio right now that you could do something to create a better outcome. But it's about that knowledge. That's what's important first, and then that and understanding how to move forward with that.
Mm. So you went through that process. Now, that took a little bit of time. This stuff doesn't happen overnight.
No.
Do you remember how long it took you to get to neutral or close to neutral?
Well, like I said, once I had to sell down six properties, left with three, I was at a negative, just over negative $30,000 cash flow. So, that cut me down a bit. And you know, we often say, what's one of the quickest ways to get out of negative cash flow is to sell your negative cash flow properties. But it's
important. You had negative equity too, so yeah. You couldn't just get rid of anything unless you had a spare 180 grand.
No, that's right. So that's the position I was left with. I was left with just over negative $30,000 cash flow and negative just over $180,000 equity. So that was my, you could say, my starting point from going through the process and then looking, okay, what can I do from here? So with that position, then it was like, okay, well, the only option that I could do once I looked at the remaining properties, other than the add value I could do on one of them, was, okay, now I need to look at how can I move forward with another project, which was going down the joint venture path.
Okay, and that's the great thing about the I Love Real Estate community too, is because, you know, when you've got a whole bunch of like-minded individuals, I mean, you know, it's a great opportunity to do things together for a common goal. And, you know, for you, for example, you know, you were still on a good wage. You would be a great joint venture partner because you're young, you're enthusiastic, you know, you've got some skills behind you. And you had a good wage, but you had no money. Mm. So for someone who was time poor and had a bit of equity in their properties, but perhaps didn't even earn any money, I mean, it might be a retiree or something like that, they would be an ideal joint venture partner for you to go and do something.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to just find someone who was, in my case, the money partner and someone who could bring the money to the table, because in every deal, in a situation, you know, you've got the money, the skill and the time that's required to bring a successful project to
and
fruition.
And the serviceability.
Yes, the money and the serviceability. So so I needed the money and the serviceability partner in my case. Because I was still, remember, quite negatively
and
cash flowed. So that was the person I was looking for, and I was very clear about that. And then I had to do, but I still had the opportunity to go out and look for an opportunity. I could present it and I could find what could work, and you know, understanding, you know, showing people the types of deals I was looking at and what profits they were, and that didn't happen overnight either. It comes from education, but it also comes from action and implementation and going over feasibilities. So the feasibility study that we give and we show and we teach is that just going through that over and over again and understanding it and getting used to it. And you know, it's like everything. When you first learn to ride a bike, it takes time to get comfortable and understand it. But once you do understand it, you have that skill for life, and you have that, I call it, unconscious competence, where you know what you're doing. But it takes time. There's a stage of learning, and it took me some time to actually go through that. But once I went through it and I committed myself and I dedicated myself, it didn't matter what financial position I was at that time. What mattered was that I knew what I needed to find, I knew how I needed to go forward, and I just focused on that. And that's how I started to slowly turn things around and start to get back on track.
And pay down debt and money for other deals, etc.
Pay down debt. And,
so you're doing chunk deals predominantly.
Yeah, that's all I could do. Well, that was the majority, that my focus was chunk deals, and get myself out of the negative equity position.
Out of the poo.
Back into the opportunity where then, okay, finally, I can now do deals on my own and joint ventures if I wish.
So how long did that take you to get to a point where you can now do deals on your own? Like, how long was that process?
That process took almost 2 years.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, this is the reality, guys, because, you know, I see a lot of people come through and some people have got really unrealistic expectations. You know, I can show how people have done amazing things and they've replaced their income and all of these things. Everyone starts from a different position. If you're sitting in a position like Brad, it's going to take time for you to unwind some of the mistakes that you've made before you can then start taking movement forward to get yourself to a position where you can start to power ahead. And so, and through all of that, there's a lot of learning. And that's why, you know, in the I Love Real Estate community, I'm so proud of the community, because it's so much bigger than me. And it's very much about that ongoing, consistent learning and application, because there isn't anything else available that you can learn the breadth and depth of knowledge and strategy that is in the I Love Real Estate community, and have all of the support mechanism around you to assist in that process. So, okay, 2 years, fast forward 2 years down the track, we've cleared up the negative pain. now it's time to power ahead. What kind of goals did you set back then? Like, what was in your head?
My once I got to, so step one was get clean, get out of the situation. Step two was, okay, now it's a process of, right, my next step is to start to replace my income through a multitude of different different deals. So what my first initial step for there, and again, using the team and the community and the strategist, was, okay, what type of deal would I need to be doing to set myself up to replace my income? Because I had a goal of replacing my income from that point of 2 years. And so the type of deal I needed to do, because I enabled myself to get back into an equity position where I had enough to borrow. But what we always say is, make sure that every deal sets you up for the next. So I had to look at a combination of deal of a bit of chunk and cash flow at the same time, which is exactly the type of deal that I did. And that was my first ever positive cash flow property. And had a celebration, had a cry.
Did a happy dance.
Had a happy dance because my bank account was going up instead
every
of
week.
Down. And I've still got that property today. And I'm, you know, why sell it? And I did a chunk, I did a add value strategy to that as well, which enabled me to not only get my equity back plus some, and have a positive cash flow property, which strengthened my weakness and it put my portfolio in a better position towards my peg in the sand.
Which is all the fundamentals that we teach.
And all I did was implement what you taught.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because a lot of the strategies, I know what, you know, you've done and what kind of deals over the years. And there's a number of stories that I tell, one in particular for somebody just starting out, you know, and the type of property they should go and buy and things like that. And you know, you say you're sitting in the audience, you say, oh, okay, didn't send it to that, so I'll go and do it. And you did, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Which was, as you know, this may sound a bit strange when I say this, but Dimna, in 3 minutes, almost made me $100,000. Just over $100,000.
By telling a story.
By telling a story about thinking about things a bit different, thinking about things a bit more creatively, and how you can go in and get the best leverage of your time and using a strategy to be able to do that. So I did exactly that, and I did all the checks and made sure I did all the right due diligence and made sure it was the right type of product and situation and location and everything before I took the action. But once I could identify that by having the knowledge, by understanding how to do it, I could identify it, mm-hmm. And then that what led me to then the next deal, and then put me and so it was just a path of consistent doing the right type of deals after the other to lead me to my goal.
Now, obviously, you know, you've been in the I Love Real Estate community for a long time now, well, 4 years or something, isn't it?
Four, five? This is going up to 5.5 years.
Five and a half years,
yep.
There you go. Yep. You're part of the furniture.
Time flies when you're having fun.
part of that process with you has been maintaining the ongoing education.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that and how that maintains focus?
Yeah, so maintaining ongoing education from my property?
With the I Love Real Estate community and everything, staying in touch with it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a never-ending process. I always often say, you know, like I'm one of the lead trainers now, and I always say to the students, you know, for me personally, I'm always under construction, which basically means that I'm never-ending project in terms of learning, evolving and growing, because I believe that as soon as we say, I know it, I know it all, I know everything, is the moment that you could be making one of the biggest mistakes.
I think it's also important to really point out here to people that you kept turning up. Like, you know, you went to the 3-day boot camp, you took some action from that, you used the accountants, you used the strategists, you used the coaches, you know, you used the lawyers, everything that's part of the I Love Real Estate community, and then you kept coming back. You know, you'd come to another boot camp, and any of the free stuff that I put on, you'd come along. If I put on a reunion event for everybody, you know, the party of the year that we do every year, you came along, you were there. And I think, you know, what I see from the side is that those people who do that, who stay connected, who keep learning, who hear things again, who you know, as you evolve, I think you hear things differently. I might have said the same story, the same thing, but the first time you didn't hear it. I've got to tell you a story. I was talking to one of my students the other day who'd come back to a 3-day boot camp for the second time. And she said to me after about the second day, she said, you know what? You know what's different about it this time? And I said, no, what's that? She said, today and yesterday, you actually spoke English.
I can relate to some of that. Yes, I can relate. Because there's just so much information that happens. And it's just, you know, for the first time, you're just taking in so much, which is, it's important because there's a real estate quadrant that we teach. And we have to go through each one of those quadrants because that's what a successful portfolio needs to invest to. So, you know, for me, I had to keep coming back and listening to the DVDs. And you only saw me at the events. You didn't see me rewinding DVDs and you playing in my car and over in my MP3 player and... Or now they're more called iPhones, iPods, but back then, you know, I was on the MP3 player. But I think that what you, for me, and I, you know, just picking up what you're saying, it's absolutely just plugging yourself back in, not only to the education, but the environment is so important because, you know, there's a lot of negativity out there. There's enough negativity out there to hold you back from the belief that you can make it happen. And that's why having a community, and it is a community, of people that have the same, you know, goal, same energy, same view, same path.
And talk we all, the same language.
All the talk same language, so we all don't talk English.
It's a
whole dip the language. But it's the environment that really enables that belief and that drive and that action to, you know what, I can do this. And you know what, it is possible because there is not a day that goes by that I don't hear of someone going out there and making some profit somewhere or some cash flow positive where, you know, you hear in the market, oh, property's not going to work anymore or you can't find this or you can't do that. And if that's what the media is saying and people are out there saying, and that's what a lot of people are believing. And I tell you what, it's not my belief because I see it every day, people going out there and making it happen.
That's right. So, you know, you kept coming back, you kept doing that. There's a little bit of a story there about... a book that you won at one of the events. Do you just want to tell that story?
Yeah, that was a real massive moment for me in terms of my mentality and my emotional state because it was at one of these a party of the year events that Dimna was talking about before, and we now call it the I Love Real Estate Super Conference. It's a fantastic event, and it was just such an inspirational event.
And it's there for all students.
It's there for every single student to tap into. And honestly, if you're thinking about coming, definitely come to it because it will absolutely get you into a state of you know, belief if that's something that you're lacking in. Or
motivation,
for me, it was
focus.
Absolutely, and learning because there's all the so it was just an amazing event for me because I was in the crowd, I was sitting in there, and I was listening to these students come up on stage, you know, talking about where they've come from and what they're doing and how they did it, step by step, move by move, blow by blow. This is what I've done. This is how I've done it. This is my profit. And just be really open about sharing. And I'm like, wow. And student after student after student just kept coming up. I'm like, holy moly. And it really got me inspired. And what happened to me in that moment was I had this belief system change because... You know, I still had this little, oh, you know, could I still do it? I'm not sure, you know. And that event changed everything for me because I thought, you know what, if they can do it, because there was nothing special about any of those people that were coming up. They were normal, average, everyday people, just like you and I, out there living life, doing the doing. And I thought, you know what, I can do that too. There's nothing, there's, you know, if they can do it, so can I. And I took that belief on and I've kept it ever since. But... where the book comes into it is that, you know, Dimna often hands out free books if you're seated and quiet. You know, a lot of you who have come to the events know what I'm talking about. And I was seated and quiet and I won a book. So I went up there and, you know, quite timid at the time and, you know, quite shy and got my book and quickly ran off and sat back down. But the whole time I was sitting there, I was like, wow, I'm so motivated and by the stories of the students that I was so moved. And my whole life and belief system shifted from that day that I just had this huge, overwhelming feeling come through me like, I really would love to one day give that gift to someone else where I could inspire someone, where I could, through my story, give that gift of belief. So I got, I took my book up to Dimna at the end of the event and I got her to write a message in the book for me. And this was going back on 2011 or 2012. And I got her to write word for word. I said, Dimna, can you please write this for me? She says, yep, no worries. And she wrote in there and said, hey, Brad, I'm looking forward to having you upon stage with me. And again, that message I wanted for Dimna to write in there because one day I thought it would be amazing that I could have that gift and change and inspire someone else to believe in themselves and go and make it happen. And from that day, through, you know, taking more action and getting myself back on track, that moment came when Dimpner actually asked me to share my story at an I Love Real Estate event, similar one, 3 years later.
3 years later, wow.
And it was amazing because for me, it felt I was able to share my story of, doesn't matter where you're starting from, honestly, it's all about where you want to go. And you know, your past has got nothing to do with what you're worth today. What you're worth has got everything to do with the decisions that you make today and the future that you create for yourself. And that's why I wanted to show that to other people. And it was really funny because I shared my story, got off stage, and then, you know, went back to the room. And then in a break, I actually brought the book with me. And because, you know, this whole moment of sharing the my story on stage from the message that Dipna wrote in the book. And anyway, break was on and Dipna came up and said, "Oh, that was really, you know, really well done, Brad. That was really good." And I said, "Oh, thank you so much, Dipna. But look, I've actually got something I want to show you." "Oh yeah, what's that?" And I reached into my bag and I grabbed this book out. And I said, "You know, this book." She goes, "Oh yeah, Confessions of a Real Estate Millionaire." It was the book that I won. And I said, "Well, just I want you to have a look in the
which
front
cover."
Which
is my story. The book's about my story and learnings from that.
Yeah, and I showed Dimpna what was in the front cover, and she read it and went, "Wow." I said, "Yeah, do you remember that?" And Dimpna went, "Oh, I don't actually."
Sorry, Brad. I write in a few books.
And I'm like, "Well, actually, yeah, I could appreciate that. You do write in a few books." It did knock the wind out of my sails a little bit, but
sorry.
But it wasn't about you remembering. It was about that moment of committing to something, believing in myself. And that's why writing down goals or writing down what it is you want to do and understanding why. So, you know, mate, if you could, you know, what I said before about why I wanted to do that and that reason is so powerful. And that's what is important. It was about having that gift to be able to give back, which is what I do now, which I'm so grateful for. I love being a part of this community. You know, and this community is only getting bigger and broader and grander by the year. And it's such a great community to be a part of, which I get to give back every day now, which is...
And so you went on to do higher education with me as well.
Yes.
And from there, I then got you speaking a little bit more, doing a little bit more training, and now you're one of my lead coaches.
Yeah, so it's a... definitely had no idea that this would end up being like this.
Plan.
But it's... it's exactly where... I know I should be. It's I always am guided by my emotions, and I know that right now this feels right, and this is my purpose. I'm here to give back, and knowing that this is where I need to be right now, it feels amazing to be able to do what I love and love what I do. So
grateful. You turned things around completely. You it would have been a couple of years ago now. You actually did quit work because you had enough financial resources behind you then to not have to work.
Yeah, that was December 2014. I remember the day very clearly. you know, and also my wife was also extremely emotional and happy because I used to work away a lot. So you know. A lot of people, look, I'm not going to say finances are everything in life. I'm not definitely saying that. But what I am saying is that when you have that area of your life in control and when you have that sorted and you've got that certainty around it, it affects every other area of your life. And, so it's been a huge, awakening and a huge, lift on a lot of other areas of my life. And, for me, it's been a huge and huge, amazing journey, and I can't thank you enough.
You're very, very welcome. How many deals, because I want to talk about this, how many deals would you do at any one time? Because people think that, you know, you do a deal and then that one finishes and then you've got to start the next one and whatever. As you get rolling, that's not the case. You've got a number of deals juggling at any one time, as do all my successful investors.
Yeah, absolutely. It started off one deal at a time, step by step. But then, like what Dimna was just saying, after some time when you've got the traction and you've started to build yourself up a bit of a resource bank and a position that you can do multiple at a time. And at the moment, I've got 5 deals going on, which is very manageable. They're quite... All different stages, and you know, they're all in different areas as well, which is another thing that, you know, is a belief that some people think that you have to do a deal where you live. And yes, I agree to some extent it depends on the deal that you're doing, but with all these other strategies that are available that people can learn and understand, that can be done from remote and from afar. So, you know, so yeah, that's I juggle you know, multiple deals at a time, and it's definitely for me very manageable and something that I enjoy doing.
Hmm. So, if you were giving advice to the people listening to this podcast, and they're sitting out there going, "Oh, I don't know whether I should, you know, join the community. I don't know whether I, you know, my situation's hopeless." You know, what would you say to them?
Look, for me, what I'd say to them about whether or not you're going to be joining the community or not, for me, the investment into myself and the investment into education to help me understand how I can possibly even move forward in that point in time is minute compared to you know, the where I am right now. And I know that at the time it might not think that for some people. He's like, "Oh my God, you know it's..." There's one of these quotes that I really love by a man by the name of Derek Bok, and he says, "If you think education is expensive, try ignorance."
I like that one too.
And I love that because I was ignorant at the start. I had no idea. I was out there, and you know what? I was making hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of decisions based on no knowledge, based on no education, and that's a big difference. $100,000 of decisions, right? And this is where I look at that and go, "Wow, I was quick to make those decisions," and then I come back to go, "Well, that's why it was a no-brainer for me to make a small fraction of an investment to get involved in a community to learn, understand, to know what I was doing.
So you can make better decisions."
So exactly. So when it came to making the hundreds of thousands of dollars of decisions, I was prepared, I was confident, and I was competent. So I would say that, you know, wherever you are right now, whether it's just starting by getting a hold of one of our books or one of Dipner's books and reading, or staying in touch with the podcast and coming to the one dayers, or just get involved any way you possibly can and work out how you could possibly just take that next step. Because, you know, with the right education and the right support that we give, you know, there's so much that's possible for you. It's just a matter of just taking that little next step every time.
Well, thanks so much, Brad, for coming along and being on the show today.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to seeing you all. I'm always around, following Dipner around everywhere or doing my own events. So I'd love for you to come up and say hi, introduce yourself, tell me a little bit about yourself. And, you know, I'd love to hear about your story. So thanks for having me.
Very good, Brad. Well, guys, that's it for today. I'm going to be back again to talk to you very, very soon on a completely different topic. Remember to subscribe to iTunes so that you get these the podcast coming to you automatically, and subscribe to you know, the newsletters and the updates and everything that we've got off the website, www.iloverealestate.tv, because there's lots of stuff that I put up there, you know. There's lots of free information, but obviously to really power ahead, I want you to become a student. I want you to be in the team. I want you to be in the community. I want you to be being helped by these amazing coaches that I've got, like Brad. You know, you've heard from a few others as well, and you know, they are, I'm so proud of absolutely every one of them. So, and of course, you're going to see me around as well. So, guys, thanks so much, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon. Bye for now.